keep on asking, keep on seeking, and keep on knocking. We'll go back to our base scripture, and of course, we're talking about the fact that this is one of the things that Jesus taught his disciples, you know. How many of you think it would be really, really cool to be one of those disciples? I mean, think about it. When Jesus was walking the earth, to be one of those guys that literally walked with Jesus and heard him talking, how many of you think it'd be really cool to be one of them? Come on, raise your hands if you think that would be really awesome to be one of them. But understand that 11 of them were killed, were murdered for their faith, and one they tried to, they boiled him in oil, and that didn't work, so they just stuck him on an island, right? But those were the ones that lived and walked with Jesus. But those also were the ones who the Bible says turned the world upside down in their day. And because they did what they did, because they heard the words of Jesus, they came to truly know Jesus, you and I are sitting here today. And so we're thankful for those who have gone before us and all the way down the line, all the way up to, you know, to my pastor who answered the call when he was 19 years old and began to preach the gospel. And, you know, as a result of that, I'm here today. And so it just goes on and on. You ever think about what about when you're gone? Who's going to be impacted by your faith? Who's going to be still serving the Lord because of your faith? Ever think about that? It's something we ought to all be thinking about. You know, some people will be sports legends and other kind of legends or whatever. I couldn't care less about that. When it's all said and done, nobody's going to remember who wins the Super Bowl this year, several years in the future. But they will remember those that touched their life for eternity. Amen. And so I'm thankful. I'm thankful for that husband and that wife, the Richard and Agnes Bertrand. I'm thankful that they came and spent time after they got saved. And they came and just spent time with my family. They were friends. They spent time with my mom and dad. They'd go to church and they'd hear something. And then as they would visit with my mom and dad, they would just tell them things that they were taught in church. He said, this is so awesome. They would share the miracles that were happening. They'd say, man, this is what God did in my life. And they just were faithful to be friends, to be true friends. And as a result of that, it was enough to begin to pique my parents' interest. But it kind of piqued my parents' interest. And then when I came home from catechism that day, when I was 7 years old, and my mom said, well, how was catechism? And I said, I don't want to go to that catechism anymore. And she said, why? And I said, because they just want to tell me about Mary. I want to know about Jesus. And she said, well, you know what? This week, this Sunday, it was just the spark that was needed between that couple sharing with my parents and then me saying that. My mom said, you know, there's a church we're going to go to, and I think they're going to tell us about Jesus. And so at 7 years old, I go to church. For the first time, I hear the gospel at 7 years old, and I give my life to Christ, and it's never been the same. I've had my ups and downs. I had my struggles as a teenager and so on and so forth, like many, but I thank God for those faithful servants of God who were just the right kind of friend to my parents. They didn't know everything. They hadn't been saved very long, but they knew enough to tell what God had done in their life and the things that they were learning. Who were you telling? Who were you sharing with? Just a thought to ponder. All right, so that has nothing to do with my message, but I felt like it needed to be said. So Matthew chapter 7, verse 7 through 11 says, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock, and it will be open to you. For everyone who asks receives, he who seeks finds, and to him who knocks, it will be opened. And then it goes on to talk about what man is there among you? If his son asks for bread, we'll give him a stone, or if he asks for a fish, we'll give him a serpent. If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father who is in heaven give good things to those who ask him? And so we've talked about over the last several weeks, talked about the fact that ask, seek, and knock, that all of those things progressive. It's a continual thing. So all of these three verbs in verse 7, ask, seek, and knock, are imperative commands. They're not suggestions. They are commands that he's giving to his disciples. And in other words, he's giving to us as well. And so there are two basic kinds. There's the aorist imperative, which is a command for one specific time. But then there is the present imperative, and that's what these are that Jesus is using here. And so in asking, seeking, and knocking, we said that it's not a lack of faith to keep asking, keep seeking, and keep knocking, because that's really what Jesus is saying. Keep on asking, keep on seeking, keep on knocking. And God is actually honored by that, because what that means is, God, I haven't seen it yet, but I believe you. I haven't seen it yet, but I'm going to keep, because I know that you cannot lie. I haven't seen it yet, but Lord, I'm not going to give up on it. I'm going to keep on asking, keep on seeking, keep on knocking. And God loves it, because he says, this is awesome. I get to spend some time with my kids. Because if he always just did everything instantly all the time, we would just go, we'd ask him for this or that, and there it was. And he'd never spend any time with us, because we wouldn't need to spend time with him. And it's unfortunate, but that sometimes is how kids treat their parents. And that's how us kids, treat God sometimes. How many of you know it's kind of in the human nature that if you don't need something, it's real easy to just get caught up in everything else. And so, again, we've got to have a pit bull kind of faith where we latch on, where we take a hold of, and we're not going to let it go. I love that, you know, Caleb, you remember the story of Caleb in the Old Testament. He's 80 years old, and he was only, so Joshua and Caleb were the only two that said, we can take this promised land just like God said. The other 10 spies that went into the land said, we can't do that. There's giants in the land. Caleb, at 80 years old, when it's time, they're going to take the land, and Joshua now has taken over in the place of Moses. And Caleb says, give me the mountain. I want the mountain where all the giants are, because I'm going to whip some giant booty. Now, he's 80 years old, but the word Caleb literally means, it literally means dog. I don't know if we have any, we got a Caleb here, okay, sometime, but it's not an insult. It's that understanding that that name means to take a hold of something like a dog and not let it go. Amen? I love that. And so we see that displayed in Caleb in the Bible. Now, we talked about last week that with the command to pray, there are some general principles about prayer. And we said God does not promise to answer everyone's prayer. Some people have this idea that he'll answer everyone's prayer because he's God. Well, no, he only answers his kids' prayers. He only answers the prayers of his children. The only prayer that he is going to answer for someone who does not know him is the prayer to save them. Okay? You understand that? Because other than that, you're not in covenant with him. Okay? But when you know him, when you're his child, well, he answers those prayers that you have. But also, that God is looking forward to and can't wait for someone who doesn't know him to ask that prayer to save me. Lord, save me. He loves to hear that. And so, again, he doesn't answer everyone's prayer. That's why I couldn't care less. I'm not going to get on Facebook and start asking everybody and their grandma to start praying for me if they don't know Jesus. Because then they start saying stupid stuff like, well, I'm sending good vibes your way and all that. I don't need your good vibes. Man, I need somebody that knows how to get a hold of God, that's in covenant with God, that can come into agreement with what his word says. So the second thing we said that we talked about last week is that we are expected to ask for things that God has promised. There are some things that God has promised. It would do us well to find out what he has promised. Because when you know what he's promised, you have his word on it and you can stand on it. One of the things that God has promised to his children, by the way, is healing. Healing's in the children's bread. That's why we can confidently come to the Lord expecting healing when we're a child of God. Amen? So we're expected to ask for things that God has promised. He tells us to ask for wisdom, and he would give it liberally. We don't even have to wonder if he's going to give it. He said, if you ask for it, I'll give it. There are things that, for direction from the Holy Spirit. He says, if you ask for that, you have it. So those things are in his will. and we know it. Now, James 4, 2b through 3 says, you do not have because you do not ask, and when you ask, you do not receive because you ask with wrong motives, and that you may spend what you get on your pleasures. So most people aren't even at all, in any way, shape, or form, thinking about what the Lord wants in their life. They just want God to make their dreams come true. And I've often said, God's not interested in making your dream come true. God's interested in making his dream for you come true. And his dream for you is going to be way better than your dream for you. Okay? And then now we're going to get to something fresh here. We've got about a few minutes to give it to you. Number three, God hears and answers every prayer prayed according to his will. If it's according to his will, he hears it and then you get it. So it's worth taking the time to find out what's prayed according to his will. And it goes on and says, for everyone who asks receives, he who seeks finds, and to him who knocks it will be opened. Most of the time our prayer is not about, God, give me this, give me that, bless me, Lord, I pray, give me what I think I need to make it through the day. It's not about a never-ending shopping list. What we're really doing when we're praying and when we're seeking him is asking him, Lord, show me what your will is. Show me what you want. When you know what God wants and you come into agreement with that, then you're going to have it. And so 1 John 5:14, this is the confidence. Everybody say confidence. Listen, this is not self-confidence. This is God confidence. This is the confidence that we have in approaching God, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears it. I've taught this before, but that word hear there is a legal word. It doesn't just mean he physically hears it. It means that he gives it a hearing, just like the Supreme Court gives a certain case a hearing. There's some people that will try to bring a case to the Supreme Court, and they will make a decision on whether they will hear the case. Anybody ever heard that language used? They make a decision. God says, if you ask according to my will, I'm going to hear the case. It's a legal term. And if we know that he hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have what we've asked of him. Why? Because it's his will. Amen? Now, one is that, understand, God hears every prayer which is according to his will. The other is that God always answers with a yes to those prayers. I've heard preachers preach it. They, you know, it sounds good, and they say, you know, sometimes God says yes, and sometimes God says no, and sometimes God says wait. I agree with two of those. God says yes, and sometimes he says yes, but you're going to have to wait a little while, okay? But he never says no. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 20. Now, we're talking about specifically if we're praying according to his will. 2 Corinthians 1, verse 20. For no matter how many promises God has made, they are yes and amen. Somebody say that. Yes and amen. No matter how many, and he's made a whole lot of promises, no matter how many God has made, once I know the promise God has made and I ask about that promise, I ask for that promise, the answer is yes. And amen. It's never no. The ones that he would say no to, he doesn't even hear. So he never has to say no. And so through him, the amen is spoken by us to the glory of God, the scripture says. Now Matthew chapter 7 verse A says, for everyone who asks receives. Now, there are times, like I said, that God says yes, but not yet. Yes, this is within my will, but there's some things that need to be in line. Yes, this is within my will, but sometimes it's within my will, but I need you to stretch your faith a little bit. I need you to keep asking, keep seeking, and keep knocking. I need you to develop a consistency and a persistency, and I need you because you're going to need this in your life. Because I've got some things that I need you to do, and if you're not going to be willing to be consistent and persistent, you're never going to do them. So God never wastes an opportunity to build our character. All right? So sometimes the answer is yes, but not yet. Psalm 130 verse 5, the Good News Translation says, I wait eagerly for the Lord's help, and in his word I trust. In his word, I trust. I trust. I don't care if it takes a week, a month, a year, 10 years, 20 years, or a lifetime, God is going to answer. He is going to manifest that which he said he would do. Amen? Amen. And so again, Noah's never an answer from God. Now, number four, sometimes, this is an important thing, sometimes in God's sovereignty, what does sovereignty mean? Sovereignty means he can do whatever he wants to, right? In God's sovereignty, he's all-powerful, he's all-knowing, he's all-present. In his sovereignty, God gives us what we need and not what we ask for. Now, in his sovereignty, even though we don't deserve it, even though we didn't ask in faith, in his sovereignty, sometimes God will give us what we need instead of what we ask for. Why? Because if we got what we asked for, it would ruin us. Somebody ought to say, thank God he has not always answered every prayer that I've prayed. Matthew chapter 7, verse 9 through 11 says, what man is there among you who, if his son asks for bread, will give him a stone, or if he asks for a fish, will give him a serpent? If you, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father who is in heaven give good gifts to those who ask him? Now, here's the thing that kind of dawned on me. So it says, if we ask for bread, will he give us a stone? The answer is no, he wouldn't do that. But the opposite is true also, right? If he says, if we ask for a fish, will he give us a serpent? No, the answer is no. But the opposite is also true. If I ask for a serpent, he's not going to give me a serpent. Now, he may give me the fish even though I didn't ask for it, because in his sovereignty and in his goodness, he'll do that for us. But sometimes in his sovereignty, he'll give us what we need and not what we ask for. And so this scripture lets us know God, our Father, is not interested in giving us things that will harm us. He wants us to have things in this life that will benefit our life and our eternal purpose. You remember he said, you have not because you ask not, because you ask with wrong motives was one of the things. God wants to bless his people, but he says, what are you going to do with this blessing that matters for eternity? Or are you just going to waste it all up on yourself, on your own entertainment, on what makes you feel good? So listen, even earthly fathers give good things to their children. Good parents, listen, good parents would not just give a child a red hot chili pepper just because they ask for it. Now, some knuckleheads might, but if you're a good father or a good mother, you're not going to do something that's going to harm your child. I mean, other than a little spanking every once in a while when they need it, but that's not to give harm. That's to, you know, that's to keep them from harm. That should be the motive. So generally speaking, we don't give things to our children that we know are going to really hurt them. I don't know too many people that'll sharpen up a knife real good and give it to a two-year-old and say, look, go run around with this for a while, right? So if that's true for our earthly fathers, how much truer is it for our heavenly Father? So by the way, when it comes to healing, again, sometimes God in his sovereignty, and I love this about God, sometimes in his sovereignty, God will heal a person who has no faith for it. But we see in the scripture that never, ever is a person not healed who had faith for it. So you'll never find a place in God's word where in his sovereignty, he denies healing for those who have faith for it. But he does heal people with no faith sometimes. And again, that's where sovereignty comes in. Number five, no prayer which is according to God's will is ever wasted. It's never wasted. Okay. The underlying principle behind the significance of persistent prayer has to be the truth that no prayer which is according to God's will is ever wasted. For one thing, because, and hear me, any time spent with God is beyond value. Any time spent with God is beyond value. What an honor, what a privilege that we can have audience with God. I mean, the creator of the universe. To think that he would hear anything we have to say, that he would allow us in his presence. You know, I know some of y'all are real big Donald Trump fans, right? Go try to get in his house and see what happens to you. See, it's not like that with God. He's got an open door policy. Right? He doesn't have a bunch of security guards with, you know, AK-47 standing around, right? And I said, Trump, we could use anybody else. Go try to just go walk in Michael Jordan's house or any other celebrity that you can think of. But yet God says, my door is open. Come on in. No time ever prayed according to the will of God is ever wasted. Now, Billy Graham once noted this. Billy Graham said, prayer is not about using God. It's more often about getting us in a position where God can use us. Man, that is some powerful insight. I want to say that again. Prayer is not about using God. In other words, so I can get God to do what I want Him to do. It's more often about getting us in a position where God can use us. And he goes on to say, I watched the deckhands on a great liner, the great liner, United States, as they docked that ship in New York Harbor. First, they threw out a rope to the men on the dock, and then inside the boat, the great motors went to work, pulling on the great cable. But oddly enough, the pier wasn't pulled out to the ship. The ship was pulled snugly up to the pier. Prayer, he goes on to say, is the rope that pulls God and us together, but it doesn't pull God down to us. It pulls us to God. That's some great insight right there. E.M. Bounds says this about prayer. Prayer is the great universal force to advance God's cause. Not to pray is a denial of God, a denial of His existence, a denial of His nature, and a denial of His purposes toward mankind. God wants to have time with us. He wants audience with us. He wants to hear from us, and He wants to be able to speak to us. Ian Bounds further says this. He says, praying men are the only men in which the Holy Spirit dwells, for the Holy Spirit and prayer go hand in hand. The Holy Spirit never descends upon prayerless men. He never fills them. He never empowers them. There is nothing whatever in common between the Spirit of God and men who do not pray. The Spirit dwells only in a prayer atmosphere. And that's some pretty strong words. But here's the deal. If we're not open to communication with God, if we're not open to hear from Him, and that's why I tell people, prayer for me, I learned a long time ago, is not, you know, just a few minutes before I go to bed or just before I eat my meal or when I wake up in the morning. Prayer should be 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, where we say, God, whether my brain is asleep or not, my spirit's still very much alive. Talk to me in my sleep. Talk to me in my dreams. Lord, I want to hear from You. And here's the thing. A prayer life, a true prayer life, is anything that's on your heart, just tell Him. Just tell Him if it's on your heart. Now, if it's not according to His will and you're asking Him for something, He's not even going to hear it. But you know what? God is interested in our thoughts. And when our thoughts are, God, I don't understand this. Can You explain this to me? Can you give me Your insight into this? I want to see things the way You see them. God, can You tell me how to love that jerk that took my parking spot at Walmart just when I thought I had some good princess parking, and he came the wrong way up there and took my spot and glared at me? Can You show me how to love that guy? Because right now, I just want to run over his car. Or even worse, someone who has done great harm to you in some way at some point in your life. God, show me how to love them, because I don't know how to do that. Man, let me tell you something. God loves to share those thoughts with you. And he knows what He's doing. He's the one that hung on that cross and said, Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. So I said all that to say, God wants to hear from us, but He wants us to hear from Him. And we should keep asking, keep seeking, keep knocking, not just every once in a while, but it's 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Lord, my heart is open to You because I know Your heart is open to me. So again, just to kind of wrap it up. What are the principles of prayer revealed in this command? God does not promise to answer everyone's prayers, only His kids. We are expected to pray or to ask for the things that God has promised, but we got to know what they've promised. So that goes along with the next one. God hears and answers every prayer prayed according to His will. Number four, sometimes in His sovereignty, God gives us what we need and not what we ask for. Again, somebody ought to say, thank God. And then number five, no prayer, which is according to His will, is ever wasted. No time spent with God is ever wasted. Now, I went over on this one so I didn't have to go to 40,749 next week. But we'll start something fresh next week. But listen, I just want God to have His way. I just want Him to do what He has to do. And I am so thankful that God is making Himself known. Amen. Come on, pray with me. Father God, Lord, I thank you for these people. I thank you for what you're doing in their lives. I thank you for what you're doing in all of our lives. Lord, we're not looking to have a religious gathering to say we did our duty. Lord, we want you. Father, I pray that there be such a desire rise in the hearts of your people this morning, Lord, to spend time with you, to hear from you, Lord, to know your heart, God. I pray, draw us close to you like John did with Jesus, Lord, and lay our head on your chest. We want to hear your very heartbeat, God. Lord, we want to know what makes you tick. We want to know what your desires are, and we want to know what we can do to fulfill those desires. Lord, I thank you for every person in this room. I plead the blood of Jesus over them. I pray, God, you send your angels out before them wherever they go to protect them, to remove demonic forces that would try to disrupt their lives and try to bring destruction to them. God, I thank you for the anointing that is upon them, for the power that resides within them. I pray that this week, God, use them for your glory to make an eternal difference in somebody's lives. I pray for supernatural boldness to overtake them, God. I pray for fearlessness, Father, godly fearlessness to overtake them, Lord, that the only fear we would have is the fear of God. And Lord, I pray, use your people for your glory. Make yourself known every day, every moment to each one. And we thank you in Jesus' name. If you're in agreement, why don't you shout amen?